You get what you get.
This meeting is being recorded.
There you go. All right. So good morning, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. First off, I just want to extend the appreciation that we have for you all out there in our PSAPs and all the hard work and everything that you do to not only give to your staff, but also give back to the community. So thank you again for all that you do. We know that you're all hardworking folks, and we appreciate you. We're going to start off with the training department and hear from Elena and Sophia.
Good morning. Sophia, are you going to start or do you want me to start?
Oh, you got this, partner.
Oh, cool. Okay, so the things I'm going to touch on are just some updates from training. Some upcoming courses. And then I'm going to also let you all know that we've had multiple questions coming in about the supervisor access on our LMS system. So just kind of give you all a little bit of insight as to some of the updates with that. First, starting out, we are now a testing. We have been for a while, but we are now actively using our testing site for the licensing course. So I am the main proctor. Levi is kind of my backup proctor in case I'm not available. And then should we have Chantel as like the backup to the backup in case it's desperately needed. The good thing about doing this is we have more flexibility now with the scheduling and getting this accomplished. So where the last few licensing classes, we've had licensing and we've maybe had to wait a couple of days and then we've had the testing date. We now have complete control over this. So this is good that we can try to get this done in a more timely manner. The odd thing to this though is that our testing not as large as Tarrant County. So we have about 8 to 10 consoles that we can consistently use to do the testing, but we have increased the number of licensing students to 22 in the class, which means we're gonna have to do this in groups. So what we will be doing is on the first day of class, it's usually myself or Sophia that does the intro day. We will be giving the students options. That way they can get in touch with their supervisors and find out which time frame works best for them. And we'll give them options to do so. So just understand, we still have the 11 days of testing, and then we will have a separate day that's going to be for test. 11 days of class, and then the separate day for testing. The testing takes about 90 minutes because it is a timed test, but we're going to be allotting 2 hour gaps just so we can give them their proper instructions for the testing, allow for the test itself. And then we can give them their feedback and their results. So just know moving forward, it's going to be about a 2 hour gap once we get them scheduled for that. And they should know once they get with you guys, which time frame they're going to be scheduled to take that test. Just a reminder too, is they do get 3 attempts at the test, but they do have to have that done within 120 days from the first attempt. So we want to make sure also that it doesn't impact their temporary license. So you may consider that when you're scheduling them for this class. We do provide feedback if anybody does fail the test. We do go over their scores with them. We don't see the questions that they were asked, but we do get kind of a generic response as to what questions they may have struggled with. So we do offer assistance to them. We do offer assistance to their supervisor as well in case they need any help on the material that we presented in the class. So that's pretty much that on the testing. We're very excited. I've done a couple of runs with it. We had some people who had military obligations during our last testing and they were able to come in and do it successfully without any hiccups. We had another one that had to come in and do it a second attempt at it, still no hiccups. So the testing site seems to be running really well and we're excited about using it. The other thing is we do have several upcoming courses coming in. We have Active Shooter that's in August, as well as the TCIC Full Access, which is a 3-day class. I know it's a desperate need for everyone. Hope in the Midst of Chaos is the Denise Amberlee Foundation. That's being hosted in White Settlement at their convention center. We still have several spots open, and I know it is usually a well-wanted course. So we encourage everybody to come. In September, we have suicide intervention, burnout and compassion fatigue, CPR, and then the cardiac emergency communications, which will also fulfill the whole TCPR need. So just be on the lookout in our course catalog. We have lots of stuff coming out. And I will also be sending out to managers, supervisors, and all that some updates for our users that are currently in our LMS system. We want to make sure we're not bogging it down with a lot of data that's not needed. So if I send you out those lists and you see people need to be removed, don't think you have to spend a whole time doing it. Send me the information back. I'll be more than happy to do that for you guys, especially if you need to add people. I know it's easier sometimes if we can do it for you, and I am more than happy to do that. So please let me know. Now for the LMS supervisor portion, I do have a little PowerPoint that I put together. Abby, am I able to share it?
That's a really good question. Let me see here. I know that you can.
I think I just have to get like rights to do it. You have to give me permission.
Oh, right. So, let me see here. Now I got to remember how you do that. Let me see. I think I can click on your name. Where are you mm-hmm. at?
You may need to make her host if that doesn't
yeah.
work. Just for a short time.
I got to find her. Since you started talking, Levi, she went away from my screen.
She's hiding.
Okay, there's. All right.
So the reason I put this together is just we've had some consistent questions that have come up since Learning Stream went into effect. We have a lot of responses that we give out. Then we had seen where there were some inconsistencies where some people were having certain accesses and others didn't. So Sophia was able to get a hold of their support system and they were actually able to get that fixed. So everybody should have that is a proxy or supervisor should have the same capabilities. So let me pull up my screen. Because it says I can do that now. All right. Are y'all able to see this? Okay, perfect. I'm just going to leave it in this view just so that we can make sure. And I will try to make sure I explain everything well since we are recording audio and not video. But if you are a supervisor or manager, you should have what we call proxy rights to Learning Stream. What this means is that when you sign in, you can see anybody that is associated with your agency. If you currently, when you sign in, do not see that, please let us know and we will make sure that we go in and give you those proxy rights. So this is what it looks like when you come in. It gives you kind of our beginning of the course catalog. It's got all your information at the top. The biggest question we've had was when creating new accounts, the feedback we've received is, well, when I created this person, now I can't see them when I've created them. A lot of times that's because we're creating the account in the wrong form. So we just want to make sure we have everybody doing it the same way. Now, when you go in and create a new account, what you should be doing is unlike Talent LMS, we only need to have you guys create the new account when you're signing someone up for a class. Again, you have to be proxy. If you're not, we can help with that. And when you go in and you see all your people that are listed, you're not going to want to do it through this page, which is deceiving because it does say add another person to your account. Unfortunately, when you go through this page, it brings up a form that does not have all the details that you need to be able to see them down the road. So what you'll need to do is go into the course catalog, pick the course that you want, and then you'll select it and sign them up from there. So in this case, I'm going to select the active shooter course to sign up my person. When you go in, you're going to hit that red register now button that's going to be next to the description. And then when you go in, you're going to click it here to add another registrant to your account. For some reason, this form is different than the one you see on the main form. So when you do that, you're going to see that some of the fields are already automatically entered. You can delete those if the supervisor isn't the same or the email isn't the same, and go in and put all your information for your new account. Now, keep in mind, you will need to set up the password for them. They will have an opportunity to go in and reset that password. You want to also make sure that you're using work email addresses. We've had a lot of duplicate accounts coming in, and it's because people are setting up themselves with their personal email account. And then either we or the supervisors will set them up with their work email. So we want to make sure we're using work email so it doesn't get confused. When you do go in and register, make sure you understand you do have to click here to check out complete registration now in order for it to go all the way through. When you get to this form, this is not completing of the registration process. So you want to make sure you click here, and then afterwards you'll get a congratulations or thank you for submitting. And that means that your person is officially submitted for the course. Because that's one of the other things we've received feedback on is I signed them up and then I got an email quickly after saying that they were deleted from the class. Well, that's merely because within that 1 hour time frame, this form wasn't submitted. So the other question we've had is, how can I see all of the people that I have registered for classes coming up? I keep getting these emails saying that my people are registered for classes, but I can't tell who. So you go back to your My Account and you'll see all those people that you have under your name. And then there's this drop down that says Account View. There's three options. You'll want to go to Registrations. When you select that, you actually will then be able to see everybody that is registered for a class. Now, this is status can be either confirmed, they could have been canceled, and they can even show you who's on a wait list. For anybody that is registered, confirmed, and on a wait list, you as a supervisor have the ability to edit this registration or cancel this registration. So if you, for instance, have a trainee, unfortunately didn't make it through a training and are no longer going to need to attend the basic licensing course, you can actually cancel them through this field. Super easy. But again, if you're not comfortable doing it this way, feel free to reach out to us. We're more than happy to do it on our end. So those are some of the biggest feedback that we've received that made an impact for supervisors. We know that we like to kind of have control of having the ability to register and cancel and all of that. So this is just a way to put that control back in your hands. But I mean, as like I said, if anytime you need any help, we are here. You can always send something to our team, which is at the training at tc911.org. If you would like to get a copy of this PowerPoint just to have on your hands, feel free to reach out to me personally. That's my email, cbrown@tc911.org, and I can get you a copy of that as well. So any questions? Awesome. Okay, that's all I have. Sophia's turn.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. So like Elena said, for the licensing class, we have increased our enrollment from 18 to 22. We are trying this out to see how it works so we can allow for more students in the course, because again, we know this class is a huge need. At this moment, as of this morning, we have one spot left in next month's licensing course, and then we have six spots in the November course. If you'll notice the November course, the dates are going to be a little different than we have scheduled them in the past. That's just because we are moving buildings and things are changing here at the district. And after December, we are going to have all of our courses, they're going to be at other locations. So when you're registering people or when your dispatchers are registering themselves, just pay attention to the address, because we are going to be hosting courses at several agencies: Irving, Grand Prairie, Burleson, Lake Worth, Crowley, several locations. And if you guys have a training space that you'd be willing to let us use that can accommodate students, that has the audio visual items for classes, let us know. Shoot us an email and we'll go out and we'll walk it and we'll make sure, because we definitely want to target different areas. We don't want to just stick to one area. We want to make training accessible to as many people as possible. So Elena and I will be spreading ourselves out to see how we can do that. Let's see. And one more thing on licensing. So far, we have gone through all of our wait lists. So please, please, please have the documentation on hand, like the DULCE form and the CPR cert, because we have been able to go through all of our wait lists. Elena and I are very good. 2 weeks, once that deadline comes in, you guys have seen the deadline in the emails, we'll be like, hey, are you going to be able to get us this stuff, or should we go ahead and move on with the list? And most of the time they're like, yeah, go ahead and move on, we'll get them in another. And we start making phone calls because we know how important this class is for peeps to have. So just make sure that you have that information on hand, so it'll just make it easier and be like, yeah, we'll take the spot, here you go, and then we can move forward. So the next item is going to be the CPR requirements are going into effect as of September 1st. So we have scheduled several CPR courses. Our goal is to have at least 1 to 2 CPR courses a month to help meet this need. And so check out our catalog. We'll have it on there. We will have in-person cardiac emergency courses. We know TCOL has put it online. We're going to continue to schedule those, and we'll assess, you know, if it's a need or if a lot of people are going online. But we still want to have that face-to-face option for those students that would prefer to attend class in person. For CPR, please make sure you're looking at the time frame. You will notice, and we've gotten emails, some classes are 3 hours, some classes are 4 hours. The only difference is because we have some courses where we can only hold six students per instructor for that particular course because we're newer instructors. Elena and I are newer CPR instructors. So American Heart recommends us to have no more than six at a time. So we're able to get that done in 3 hours. We have a contract instructor who is a subject matter expert, very experienced in CPR. He can teach 10 to 12 students. So that's why the time goes up a little bit for him. Let's see. Now, the last item is going to be the needs assessment. That is going to be going out next month. We sent it out last year. We do it every year. And this is your opportunity to let us, which granted, you can email us at any time. I know several of you have emailed us and said, hey, we'd like to see something like this. That can help us. Aubrey, did you have a question?
Yes, I was going to let you finish first. It's about the CPR.
Okay. No, go ahead. Sorry, I saw your little hand.
It's okay. So my question was, I know that there are a lot of agencies struggling with this new Atlas platform for AHA, and it is causing some hiccups in us getting the e-card that you guys are requiring as proof of CPR completion. So can you kind of talk about if we're having that challenge, what are the alternatives? Because I understand that you're not willing to accept the AHA roster that has been completed, stating that the student has completed the course. So can you talk a little bit about what the alternate solutions are if we're not able to get these e-cards through Atlas?
So is it just like a technical difficulty with Atlas? I know they're working on a few things. We met with our AHA training coordinator a couple of weeks ago. She said a lot of instructors are still working through that. Is it a technical issue?
So yes and no. So some of them are on the Atlas side and the AHA side. So we migrated from the old AHA platform to Atlas. We instruct under the Arlington Fire Department. And so we're having some issues with getting the training sites over on Atlas for us to be able to access them at the instructor level. So I'm just asking, as we're working through this, we specifically have one that's getting ready to go to the basic licensing course, and we cannot get her e-card right now. So I'm just asking what else would suffice. I know other agencies are going to be in the same boat as they're trying to get all the glitches worked out on the AHA side.
So send me a screenshot of what the roster looks like, because if it has like a card number or some way that we can verify that they are CPR certified, we can take a look at that. The only thing we won't accept is just like a sign-in sheet or just something that says, oh, we attended the course. We need more proof for the commission, because when they come out and do their audits, it's definitely going to be something that they're looking at.
Yeah, and you won't have an e-card number, because that's assigned at the time that you assign the card. So, okay. Yeah, but what a lot of us are running into is, you know, there's two different rosters that we have to maintain. One, of course, is the TCOL roster, but the other is the actual AHA roster that is completed by the instructor saying that these people successfully took the course, along with their test showing their successful pass rate. So,
yeah. So for the district here, we're going to need either a card or a certificate, but let's talk. And I'd like to see more about what that roster is going to look like, because I know we do fill out the AHA roster, and that's not going to suffice for that requirement, at least for us. We want to make sure we have everything in line for TCOL.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. Yes, so the needs assessment, that is going to go out, your opportunity, of course, throughout the year. You're welcome to email us and let us know, hey, we'd like to see something like this. This is a need. Elena and I, we will put our heads together. We work on curriculum all the time. And we just want to make sure we're meeting the needs and what you guys want us to continue hosting, or what you want to see more of. I do recommend, I'm putting the bug in your ear now, so you can contact your frontliners, your supervisors, ask them, hey, reach out to your shift. Let us know what you guys want to see from the district, because they would also know what it is that they need. You know, are they wanting more stuff on hostage negotiations? Are they wanting more on mental health? Let us know, because when we go out and we start looking at you know, scheduling classes, proprietary instructors. We want to make sure that we are meeting these needs. This past year, mental health was noted on the needs assessment. So we've been able to host mental health classes. This week, we wrapped up two classes with Dr. Lilly, who has done groundbreaking research on 911 mental health. But we don't know what we don't know. So this is your opportunity to let us know. I know last year, the response rate was about 30-35%, and we would love to see more so we can make sure that we're meeting your needs. So I think that's it from me. If you guys have any questions, you have our training email, the CPR question. I'll definitely look into that just to make sure. I want to see what that roster looks like before I give an answer, because again, we want to make sure our audit files are in line for TCOL. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, training team. Appreciate all the information. Again, any questions for them? You can still ask them now, or in the message, we put the email on there in case you need that. And up next, we will hear from Sarah Sellers for Tech Ops. Take it away, Sarah Sellers.
Good morning. So just want to let everybody know we have a recent job posting for the 911 Quality Assurance Analyst. So that's out there. If you're interested, please go apply. The closing for that is September 22nd. And you'll be looking at and analyzing data, some language line pieces, but the full job descriptions on our website will be on LinkedIn, APCO and NENA. So take a look at that. There's not any questions on that. I'll hand it over to Yvonne on the Tech Ops team.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to try to share my screen and let's see if this works.
Okay, well, I need to make you the host.
Okay.
So you are now the host, and then when you're done, just make me back the host.
Okay, does everyone see that? The Vesta login screen? Awesome. Okay, so we have had a few times where people have had a little bit of difficulty not logging out and coming and trying to log in again, and then they can't log in and they think their login's broke. So I wanted to make sure to show everyone how you could tell. So as you recognize, this is the login screen for Vesta. And you see that there's that arrow pointing to details. So details is going to show you what Vesta is doing during the login process. So if it was a regular successful login process, you would just see it connecting to console services and that type of thing. But if there is if there is a problem, this is what you will see. Do you see the bottom line that says the account is already in use in the DDS? So that would mean that this person is already logged in somewhere. And then you would need to look at the agent's screen and figure out where they're logged in. Now, remember, when you look at the agents on one position, it shows you everyone else logged in besides that position. So if the person you're looking for happens to be logged in on that position, you wouldn't see it. So you might check a couple of positions just to be sure. Or there is a way on the screen that you can look at who's logged in on that one, but that's a little harder to explain without a picture. So just keep in mind, if there seems to be an issue with someone logging in, you can look at details and see it'll tell you what's going on with that. Any questions about that subject? Okay, moving on. There has been some things that have gone on with voice over IP. And we were getting reports that people were seeing. What they were actually reporting most of the time is that on the map, the icon that was showing up was a question mark as opposed to one of the normal icons that you would see showing on the map for a call. And that was because the NA class of service that was showing up, and the map was like, I don't know what icon to put it. So I have this default question mark that I'm going to use. This has since been corrected, but if any of you had seen that or were struggling with that, I wanted to make sure to bring it up that it has been corrected. Any questions on that subject?
And Yvonne, that's the one where AT&T made a change without advertising, right?
Yes. AT&T was trying to make changes to show the telematics class of service, which had been showing as VoIP, but they didn't notify us of it, and they actually didn't let us know they changed it back either. However, when we brought it to their attention, and it randomly, you know, it just seemed to coordinate with the time they had made that change, it magically was fixed. So not really trying to throw them under the bus, but that's just what happened. So it was just a little programming error. There wasn't anything with VoIP itself that was actually broken. Excuse me. And speaking of telematics, we know this, I'm sure you guys all remember, telematics is going to be the types of information that's coming directly from a vehicle. So if OnStar is sending you something like a crash notification or any of the other services that are out there, we are working towards having it actually show telematics, this TLMA class of service, instead of just showing VoIP, because that gets confusing, especially if it's a recording saying that there's an incident at this latitude and longitude or whatever they have on their recorded message. It's confusing if you're not sure it's coming from a vehicle. And telematics would clear that up for you. Entrato is doing some testing. This is one of their test calls that they did to make sure that they could display this telematics class of service. And Gail from our staff has been, is trying to work with all the carriers to make changes that they need to make to verify that it would show telematics. So you may see some calls or you may get some test calls, and they're just working out all the bugs or all the details on how they're going to make sure that you can see that. Does anyone have questions? Because that's the last of my. Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Yvonne. All right. And up next, we have Chantel. We're going over the regionalization study.
Thank you, Abby. Good morning, everybody. We have come to what I want to say, the end of the road. I can see the finish line right in front of me. I'm just not completely there just yet. Are you guys with me? I hope you are. So September 15th, I see you, Levi. September 15th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're having the last town hall that is going to, Mission Critical Partners is going to come in and give you guys basically the final report. And it's going to have some highlights about what this study produced. I don't want to give away anything, but I've sent all of you guys, as well as city managers, police chiefs, anybody who came to the previous meeting, I've sent invites. It's well over almost 200 invites. So I hope you guys are one of them so you can hear about the update on what they basically came up with as far as the scope of the project and the finalization of it. Anybody have any questions? I'm not going to give away too much, so be mindful of your questions. I'm just joking. Any questions about the process or anything with the regionalization study at all? Great. Look forward to seeing you September 15th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Bob Bolen Public Safety in Fort Worth.
What was the date again?
September 15th.
Okay.
Awesome. It's a Friday. Most people's calendars are free on Fridays. That's why we did it on a Friday. Yay. So I hope to see you there.
Thank you. All right. Moving right along there. We have Levi times two. I guess we're taking a little break from Chantel and then we'll come back to you and then we'll have a little Levi time. So Levi, take the hiring crisis and live 911.
Yeah. So I just want to give you guys a really quick update on the hiring crisis. I mentioned at the last PSAP manager meeting kind of what our plan was and what we're doing. We're still moving right along. We're doing really well. We're in the implementation portion right now with NeoGov, going through that and getting it set up. We have our other vendors kind of sitting there in the hopper ready to go. It's a really interesting process as we're going through, and we're really excited because it looks like kind of what our vision was is going to be something that we're going to be able to accomplish. And so very exciting. We, you know, had the opportunity to go to APCO. And again, a lot of stuff they talked about there involved the staff shortages and solutions. So very excited about it. We're going to keep you guys updated on it, kind of get through the pilot portion of the program. And then we're going to start reaching out to you guys to see who wants to hop on this and see if we can, you know, accomplish getting you guys people in your seats. So that's just kind of an update right now. Not a whole lot, but we're working through it, and we'll keep you updated. Second, I wanted to give you guys just a very quick, some information on a service called Live 911. They reached out, just kind of let us know if we were interested. And I wanted to provide you guys with this information in case you are interested in Live 911. I am going to attempt to do this. We'll see if it shrinks it down. If it does, I can. Does everybody still see that, or did it make it look weird? I don't want to make it weird.
It looks beautiful.
Perfect. Beautiful. I like it. So Live 911, just kind of a quick overview on Live 911. It's technology that allows to push 911 calls in almost real time directly to the first responders in the field. This allows the first responders to hear the call as it is happening. Again, I do say near live because obviously there's a delay with technology pushing that through the system, but it's a great tool for the first responders to be hearing everything that is going on, all the small nuances that don't always make it into the CAD system, and allows them to be better prepared. And also it frees them up a little bit on their drive. They don't have to keep looking at their MDC for notes. It's just, they can hear it as they're driving. So that is kind of an overview of what Live 911 is. Some of the benefits of that is they can listen to those calls in near real time, suspend streaming. They can dismiss calls based on information they hear, if that's a policy that you guys have. They're allowed to rewind live audio. They can ask more detailed questions via the radio. And they can also, depending on if they have integration with something like Rapid SOS, can see the location of other officers that helps them respond quicker. As I spoke about integration, there are some third-party integrations that they have. They are Rapid SOS ready. If you guys use Rapid SOS, that allows to be mapped along with these calls. Just some news articles. If you go to their website, there is a lot of news articles. I would say probably 40 or 50 different news articles that talk about Live 911. I just kind of posted some of the highlights that I saw that involve some benefits to having Live 911. So here's just a short video, just kind of a compilation of some of the Live 911.
Live 911.
Can you guys hear that?
It allows responding officers
to listen in on 911 calls.
Getting police on scene quicker could mean the difference between a life saved and a life lost.
All modern technology, it still takes time to move a call from a 911 operator to a complaint taker to a dispatcher.
Instead of waiting for dispatch to type in the details to send it to the radio operator and to come out over the radio, the officers are able to hear the information right away.
Live 911 is a game changer.
My officers have the ability now to hear
the call and see exactly where the 911 call is coming from.
Live 911 can cut off minutes.
Fire, house fire, and they got there before the fire department because they were hearing it live, and they're able to get there and help get the family out immediately. They're getting to emergency calls just quicker.
Here's how it works. Patrol officers can pick an area near them, say a half mile radius, and listen to any 911 call as it comes in.
The officer only hears calls from his or her area.
Recently, an assault victim following a suspect called 911, and the officer was able to quickly locate the suspect.
On one occasion, an officer got to a home in the middle of the 911 call.
I can see where she's at, also see it on this map.
The real-time awareness feature has helped better prepare her.
Surfers that way, because they're saying your address, they're saying what's going on in descriptive, and it's really helpful.
Stretcher's entering as fast as she can with a keyboard,
I'm actually hearing what's going on.
Listen to the caller and the stress in her voice.
So now they're picking up on clues that may have gotten left out.
Clues like a person's tone and urgency.
This is a huge de-escalation tool.
The dispatchers to the officers, they all love it.
Nothing changes when you're the one calling in an emergency. Just dial 911 as you normally would.
911 calls will still go through dispatch, but if an officer hears a call and is nearby, they can let dispatch know they're on their way.
He only expects this system to become more and more common at different agencies
to help officers have more information to make better informed decisions, to get there quicker,
to help us save lives and arrive at your emergency quicker.
Live 911.
It allows responding officers to.
So yeah, just kind of a short video that talks about some of the benefits of Live 911. I would definitely recommend, if you're interested in this, to go to their website. There's a how it works. There's a lot of videos there. And there's a lot more of these videos, along with news videos on more specific to agencies. If you'd like to set up a demo, contact Bill Behar. This is his phone number. I'll be happy to send this to anybody that wants it, this presentation. Something also to just kind of keep in mind, Irving is a city here in Tarrant County 911 District that does have Live 911. I don't mean to throw Kendall into the spotlight, but I am sure Irving would be happy to share their experience with you, good, bad, or indifferent, and talk to you about that. Also, if you're looking to do Live 911, we would really ask that you reach out to Sarah's team at the very beginning when you get ready to get started with this. There is some stuff, because this involves 911 on the tech side, and the more heads up we have, the more we can start early and work with you guys. It makes it so much easier than in the middle of the implementation, us getting brought in and trying to make something work or have to undo it and do more work. So please, if you guys are interested in this, reach out and talk to Sarah and her team. And that's really all I got. So unless you guys have any questions, I will turn it back over to Chantel. Well, Abby, then Chantel.
Thank you, Levi. Okay, great. Irving 911 is using Live 911. That looks fun. All right. So next we're gonna hear back from Chantel. Give you a little break, Chantel. So now you're back on again. Go get them.
Thanks. So I will put for my QA, that was perfect. So Kendall, can you tell us how Live 911 is working for you guys at Irving?
Thanks, Chantel. It's working well. The things that we were concerned that would happen have happened. I mean, there have been the calls where officers will say, oh, put me on that, yada, yada, that they're nowhere, that we don't think that they're anywhere close to, or they'll make comments about a call that they're not on. The suspect vehicle is from the chase, or from that domestic in progress is over here, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we have to figure out what call they're talking about when they do that, because at some point in time, sometimes actually the call has not even made it onto the dispatcher screen. So the call screen might still be entering it. The officers are listening to it, and we have to figure out what they're talking about. Those things, I mean, there are those little things that happen every once in a while. For the most part, we have gotten good feedback from the officers. You did a great job on that call. I couldn't do your job. I don't know how you'll do that. But then there have been the odd times when tell them to ask this or that, or why didn't they ask this or that? And so everything we were concerned about has happened, but for the most part, it has been beneficial.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Kendall. So also with my Q&A, anybody have any questions that we did not talk about from training, PubEd, or any of those departments? I can't speak on technology. Don't ask me any technology questions, please. So anybody have any questions on training or PubEd that we did not cover in today's session? That means we're doing great. All right. Thank you. Back to you, Abby.
Awesome. I was kind of waiting for anything with PubEd. I'm like, okay. So next up, we have good old Sherry Decker, our great executive director, who's going to fill us in with her director updates.
Thank you, Abby. I would like to turn it over to Aubrey and let her talk about an initiative that's coming up soon here in November.
Thank you for that hard work, Mary. Appreciate it. Let me get my ducks in a row here. So what Sherry's referring to is a partnership that the district and North Central Texas 911 have come together, Kelly Hall from Highland Park, and we are formed a committee to craft a public safety fair for DFW. So if you're on the DFW manager's distribution list, you've probably already seen an email go out from Kelly Hall asking if anybody's interested in participating in this career fair. We're still working out all the how-tos and what fors, but it's going to be November the 7th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the NCT 911 building, which is located at 600 Six Flags Drive in the Center Point building, Center Point 3. More information, of course, will go out, but I would just encourage you guys that are really struggling with applicants or getting good quality applicants to leverage this opportunity to send a couple of your representatives from your agency. We are going to be leveraging our partnerships with the media as well to broadcast this information and advertise the public safety fair. And this is going to be centric to communications. So we've already been asked, is this going to be for cops and firemen and everybody in public safety? No. The fair is just for you to help us attract and have an opportunity to talk to some really great applicants potentially to fill some of these roles. So if you're struggling with recruiting, this would be an excellent opportunity. It's free of charge. There's no fiscal requirement, so you don't have to come up with a bunch of money to participate. I know a lot of the fairs that you've seen recently, there's a charge to participate, so this is free of charge. Again, we're trying to work out all the details, but what it looks like it's going to be is everybody would have like a 6-foot table with some space around it for you guys to be able to set up a booth, if you will. You would be responsible for bringing all of your recruitment materials, minus the dog and pony show, but no giveaways and prize cannons. But we're trying to just create a space that is centric to communications recruiting and give you an opportunity to participate. So look for some more information and finalized guidelines and finalized information on that job fair coming very soon. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me. I think most of you guys have my email address. I'll be happy to answer any questions I can, but I just would really like to encourage you guys to participate if you're in need of that opportunity.
Thank you, Aubrey. I think we've got some of our, I don't know that it's signed, sealed, and delivered, but I think that we have some agencies that are wanting to participate. Bedford, of course, to Grand Prairie, Irving, Mansfield, the new TCCD in Everman. So they only have 24 spaces available just because that's as big of a room as they have. So if this is an interest, please reach out to Aubrey and so that you can be heard. One of the things that I love about it is it's not a job fair. It's a career fair specific to our profession. And I absolutely love that. And get all of the you stakeholders in a room that can, if you've been there a long time, not as long as me. I was telling Kevin, next month is 44 years as a telecommunicator. So bring in our history, bring in our background, be able to talk to these people about how this truly is a career and just the passion that you have for it. So I love the idea, great job, and we will definitely be there. All right, any questions? I'm throwing through Aubrey under the bus, so you can just, if you don't have her number, I do. The updates that I have for y'all is we signed a contract with Motorola and our next gen core services has begun. It's been a long time. It's been a long road. They're a great company. We've worked with them and several other endeavors through the years. And so the relationship was already there. And so this was an easy move for us. We're looking forward to spending a lot of time with them over the next 18 months. And hopefully on your end, you won't feel a thing. All the challenges and the roadblocks and the implementations and the new technology is going to be on this back end. So we're going to try to make it as painless as possible for you. And anytime that we are going to be doing anything that has to do with you, you will be notified, of course, so that you can be part of that. Second, we purchased a building. We have purchased a building and we have a future home. It is a blank slate. So we have hired we had a great board meeting on Monday, and the board approved a design team to come in and design our future. This is a three-story building. We'll have a great training center. We'll have a network operations center, hopefully a security center, and we'll have a nice boardroom that we're not sardines in. But you know what? I kind of like being together. Makes us work together closer and get things done. So we have the contract in place. We've already started that. We have our kickoff meeting with them next week. Things are moving. Things are moving slowly, but they're moving. TxDOT is still plugging ahead. They gave us an offer. We counter-offered, and we haven't heard back. They work on a different timeline, and so if they have so much time to respond to us, and if they don't accept our offer, then they will implement an eminent domain. Well, because we know nothing about this, and we've been told so many different things from TxDOT, we have hired an eminent domain consultant. And with their help, and with our attorney's help, and with some commissioners, board members, and legislators, they're thinking they can hopefully give us a little bit more time so that we can prepare our new building and get that mirrored system up and running, free of fault, full of resiliency and redundancy before we ever turn off the system here. So that is our goal. It's a big goal. But I got to tell you, this team that I've got working right here for you, they're up to it. And all the people that we've contracted out and brought in those professionals can help us as well. So if y'all have any questions, please let me know. If you want to know more, call Chantel. No, you can call me anytime. Come see us. And any questions that I can answer?
If I can jump in, I don't have a question, but I have just a word of encouragement. There's, you know, you're hearing about all these updates and the wonderful initiatives the district is embarking on and the dreaming that they're doing to help make our lives easier. One of the things I would encourage you guys to do is either attend in person or catch up on the board meetings. They're all published on the Tarrant County 911 website, right up at the top under board meetings. It's really educational. If you really want to know what's going on in the district, the initiatives that the district staff is putting forth and how hard they're really working for you to improve things for you and processes and benefits they're trying to put in place. A lot of that is discussed at these board meetings. So they are welcome. They're open meetings. You're welcome to attend and listen in, or you're also welcome to catch up. All the audio is posted on the website.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Anything else, Sherry?
All I got.
That's all you got? Okay. Well, that was some good information. So,
yes.
Yay, we found a home. We won't be homeless. We're just going to come and shack up with all the PSAPs. We're just going to split and divide ourselves in different ways and do that. So, Aubrey, do you still have something, or is?
No, I was saying, come on. Oh, lower my hand.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I didn't, high five. There you go. All right. So, So thank you everyone who, shared information today. Was there any other questions or any comments or anything that you?
I have something, Abby.
Oh, there's Sarah. Go for it, Sarah.
Welcome, Cody Shepherd. This is his first PSAP manager meeting, so everybody can see his face. He's new to our team, and you'll be seeing him out in the PSAPs. We're happy to have him.
Excellent. Thank you, Sarah. All right. Does anybody else have anything for us at all?
Oh, I needed to introduce Sandy Seiges. Oh. Sandy is our new executive assistant. She had her very first board meeting on Monday. She's doing great. And we're so glad that she comes every day back to us.
That is a blessing. We like it when all the staff come to, back to work every day. That's nice. That's wonderful. Thank you, Sherry, for letting everybody know that we have Sandy working with us too. Anything else from anyone out in the PSAPs? Any questions, comments, concerns? A good joke, nothing? Okay. So, all right. You will be seeing me and Jake from TC911 next week because we will be dropping off the September gifts. So we'll be rocking those out Monday through Wednesday. Usually it takes me 3 days. So hopefully it only take 3 days and we can get that stuff out to everyone. So I don't have a time when I'm going to be to your dispatch center. I don't have an order. It's just going to be routing my way through the county safely in my Sally car. So, be looking, for that. And the PowerPoints, I will go ahead. I actually got everyone's PowerPoint on email. So I will go ahead and help everyone else out, and I will just forward them all to all of the PSAT managers to show that this is the PowerPoints with the agenda again for everyone too. So Orlando wants to know where the new building is. Sherry?
Orlando, it's a secret. It's not really a secret. It is in Fort Worth. And our dear Abby has her work cut out. She's going to be doing all kinds of save the dates and some little trickling information to get y'all all excited. But if you want to look at it online, it's just a building there today. But it's at 12600 Willow Springs, Fort Worth, Texas.
There you go. So
we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it fun for everybody to come out, and then of course we'll have an open house. But we got to build some offices in there first.
Yeah,
I'm okay with sitting on the floor. We can take our boxes from here and just work right there because I love group settings.
I'm more for the roller rink option that is clearly going on there right now.
Pickleball
skating party. Let's, rock the old skate in place type of thing. Bring that back for those that, know what I'm talking about. Air conditioning is always a plus. So, with that being said, if everyone doesn't have anything else, like I said, I'll send everyone's PowerPoint out to everyone today. So everyone's got it all in one group email. And if you need anything else, you can always reply or, if you have stuff for the training department or anyone else, reach out. With that being said, still going to be spicy outside. And so be safe, check on others, be nice to your HVAC unit because it's keeping you alive. And again, just like to make sure you're doing stuff that's safe for everyone and all involved and whatnot. So it is going to only be 95 next Tuesday. So get your jackets ready. It should drop down a little bit. But other than that, unless anybody's got anything, I'll stay on for a little bit in case someone has something. But this will conclude our PSAT manager meeting, and we will meet up again in November.
Thank you, Abby.
Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abby.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Sherry, you look very tiny.
I'm tiny?
Tiny. Because you're like, I can't do it.
She is tiny, a tiny pit bull.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, is there a
reason? I'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Good job, everybody.
Yes, good job. Thank you. Richard, you good?